Good morning. You're listening to Short Stories with Mrs. Sam, brought to you by the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon and Robin Hood Radio. Tune in every week on Sunday at 8:30 a.m. to WHDD 91.9 FM to catch our show. My name is Mrs. Sam. I'm the children's librarian at Hotchkiss Library of Sharon. We have all sorts of wonderful books there for children of all ages, and lovely crafting and story times besides. The weather is warm enough for us to have outside library programs. Register for our summer reading and participate in fun challenges and win prizes all summer long. You can find information on all the events we hold for children and adults alike on our website, HotchkissLibraryOfSharon.org, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/HotchkissLibrary. We are open for browsing and borrowing and computer use every day of the week. Today, in celebration of our summer reading theme, Tales and Tales, we're going to read several very short stories called Aesop Fables. The Aesop for Children. The Frogs and the Ox. An ox came down to a reedy pool to drink. As he splashed heavily into the water, he crushed a young frog into the mud. The old frog soon missed the little one and asked his brothers and sisters what had become of him. "A great big monster," said one of them, "stepped on little brother with his huge feet." "Big, was he?" said the old frog, puffing herself up. "Was he as big as this?" "Oh, much bigger," they cried. The frog puffed up still more. "He could not have been much bigger than this," she said. But the little frogs all declared that the monster was much, much bigger, and the old frog kept puffing herself out more and more until, all at once, she burst. Belling the Cat. The mice once called a meeting to decide on a plan to free themselves of their enemy, the cat. At least they wished to find some way of knowing when she was coming, so they might have time to run away. Indeed, something had to be done, for they lived in such constant fear of her claws that they hardly dared stir from their dens by night or day. Many plans were discussed, but none of them were thought good enough. At last, a very young mouse got up and said, "I have a plan that seems very simple, but I know it will be successful. All we have to do is to hang a bell about the cat's neck. When we hear the bell ringing, we will know immediately that our enemy is coming." All the mice were much surprised that they had not thought of such a plan before. But in the midst of the rejoicing over their good fortune, an old mouse arose and said, "I will say that the plan of the young mouse is very good. But let me ask one question. Who will bell the cat?" The Town Mouse and the Country Mouse. A town mouse once visited a relative who lived in the country. For lunch, the country mouse served wheat stalks, roots, and acorns with a dash of cold water for drink. The town mouse ate very sparingly, nibbling a little of this and a little of that, and by her manner making it very plain that she ate simple food only to be polite. After the meal, the friends had a long talk, or rather the town mouse talked about her life in the city, while the country mouse listened. Then they went to bed in a cozy nest in the hedgerow and slept in quiet and comfort until morning. In her sleep, the country mouse dreamed that she was a town mouse, with all the luxuries and delights of city life that her friend had described for her. So the next day, when the town mouse asked the country mouse to go home with her to the city, she gladly said yes. When they reached the mansion in which the town mouse lived, they found on the table in the dining room the leavings of a very fine banquet. There were sweetmeats and jellies, pastries, delicious cheeses, indeed the most tempting foods that a mouse can imagine. But just as the country mouse was about to nibble a dainty bit of pastry, she heard a cat mew loudly and scratch at the door. In great fear, the mice scurried to a hiding place, where they lay quite still for a long time, hardly daring to breathe. When at last they ventured back to the feast, the door opened suddenly and in came the servants to clear the table, followed by the house dog. The country mouse stopped in the town mouse's den only long enough to pick up her carpet bag and umbrella. "You may have luxuries and dainties that I have not," she said, as she hurried away. "But I prefer my plain food and simple life in the country, with the peace and security that go with it." The Fox and the Grapes. A fox one day spied a beautiful bunch of ripe grapes hanging from a vine trained along the branches of a tree. The grapes seemed ready to burst with juice, and the fox's mouth watered as he gazed longingly at them. The bunch hung from a high branch, and the fox had to jump for it. The first time he jumped, he missed it by a long way, so he walked off a short distance and took a running leap at it, only to fall short once more. Again and again he tried, but in vain. Now he sat down and looked at the grapes in disgust. "What a fool I am," he said. "Here I am wearing myself out to get a bunch of sour grapes that are not worth gaping for." And he walked off very, very scornfully. Now, each one of these very short stories has a little thing at the bottom that tells us the moral of the story, the message that the story is trying to convey. And I haven't been reading them because I think that most children are smart enough to gather the moral of the story for themselves. However, I really like this one, so I'll share the Fox and the Grapes moral with you. And it's this: there are many who pretend to despise and belittle that which is beyond their reach. The next story is called The Wolf and the Crane. A wolf had been feasting too greedily, and a bone had stuck crosswise in his throat. He could get it neither up nor down, and of course he could not eat a thing. Naturally, that was an awful state of affairs for a greedy wolf. So away he hurried to the crane. He was sure that she, with her long neck and bill, would easily be able to reach the bone and pull it out. "I will reward you very handsomely," said the wolf, "if you pull that bone out for me." The crane, as you imagine, was very uneasy about putting her head in the wolf's throat, but she was grasping in nature, so she did what the wolf asked her to do. But when the wolf felt that the bone was gone, he started to walk away. "But what about my reward?" called the crane anxiously. "What?" snarled the wolf, whirling around. "Haven't you got it? Isn't it enough that I let you take your head out of my mouth without snapping it off?" This one is similar, but different. The Lion and the Mouse. A lion lay asleep in the forest, his great head resting on his paws. A timid little mouse came upon him unexpectedly, and in her fright and haste to get away, ran across the lion's nose. Roused from his nap, the lion laid his huge paw angrily on the tiny creature to kill her. "Spare me," begged the poor mouse. "Please let me go, and some day I will surely repay you." The lion was much amused to think that a mouse could ever help him, but he was generous and finally let the mouse go. Some days later, while stalking his prey in the forest, the lion was caught in the toils of a hunter's net. Unable to free himself, he filled the forest with his angry roaring. The mouse knew that voice and quickly found the lion struggling in the net. Running to one of the great ropes that bound him, she gnawed it until it parted, and soon the lion was free. "You laughed when I said I would repay you," said the mouse. "Now you see that even a mouse can help a lion." The Gnat and the Bull. A gnat flew over the meadow with much buzzing for so small a creature, and settled on the tip of one of the horns of a bull. After he had rested a short time, he made ready to fly away. But before he left, he begged the bull's pardon for having used his horn for a resting place. "You must be very glad to have me go now," he said. "It's all the same to me," replied the bull. "I did not even know you were there." So the moral of this one, too, I would like to share. It says, "We are often of greater importance in our own eyes than in the eyes of our neighbor. The smaller the mind, the greater the conceit." The Plane Tree. Two travelers, walking in the noonday sun, sought the shade of a wide-spreading tree to rest. As they lay looking up among the pleasant leaves, they saw that it was a plane tree. "How useless is the plane," said one of them. "It bears no fruit whatever, and only serves to litter the ground with leaves." "Ungrateful creatures," said a voice from the plane tree, "you lie here in my cooling shade, and yet you say I am useless. Thus ungratefully, O Jupiter, do men receive their blessings." The Owl and the Grasshopper. The owl always takes her sleep during the day. Then, after sundown, when the rosy light fades from the sky and the shadows rise slowly through the wood, out she comes, ruffling and blinking from the old hollow tree. Now her weird woo-woo-woo-woo echoes through the quiet wood, and she begins her hunt for the bugs and beetles, frogs and mice she likes so well to eat. Now, there was a certain old owl who had become very cross and hard to please as she grew older, especially if anything disturbed her daily slumbers. One warm summer afternoon, as she dozed away in her den in the old oak tree, a grasshopper nearby began a joyous but very raspy song. Out popped the old owl's head from the opening in the tree that served her both for door and for window. "Get away from here, sir," she said to the grasshopper. "Have you no manners? You should at least respect my age and leave me to sleep in quiet." But the grasshopper answered saucily that he had as much a right to his place in the sun as the owl had to her place in the old oak. Then he struck up a louder and still more rasping tune. The wise old owl knew quite well that it would do no good to argue with the grasshopper, nor with anybody else for that matter. Besides, her eyes were not sharp enough by day to permit her to punish the grasshopper as he deserved. So she laid aside all harsh words and spoke very kindly to him. "Well, sir," she said, "if I must stay awake, I am going to settle right down to enjoy your singing. Now that I think of it, I have wonderful wine here, sent to me from Olympus, of which I am told Apollo drinks before he sings to the high gods. Please come up and taste this delicious drink with me. I know it will make you sing like Apollo himself." The foolish grasshopper was taken in by the owl's flattering words. Up he jumped to the owl's den, but as soon as he was near enough so the old owl could see him clearly, she pounced upon him and ate him up. The Oak and the Reeds. A giant oak stood near a brook in which grew some slender reeds. When the wind blew, the great oak stood proudly upright with its 100 arms uplifted to the sky. But the reeds bowed low in the wind and sang a sad and mournful song. "You have reason to complain," said the oak. "The slightest breeze that ruffles the surface of the water makes you bow your heads, while I, the mighty oak, stand upright and firm before the howling tempest." "Do not worry about us," replied the weeds. "The winds do not harm us. We bow before them, and so we do not break. You, in all your pride and strength, have so far resisted their blows. But the end is coming." As the reeds spoke, a great hurricane rushed out of the north. The oak stood proudly and fought against the storm, while the yielding reeds bowed low. The wind redoubled in fury, and all at once the great tree fell, torn up by the roots, and lay among the pitying reeds. The Crow and the Pitcher. In a spell of dry weather, when the birds could find very little to drink, a thirsty crow found a pitcher with a little water in it. But the pitcher was high and had a narrow neck, and no matter how he tried, the crow could not reach the water. The poor thing felt as if he must die of thirst. Then an idea came to him. Picking up some small pebbles, he dropped them into the pitcher one by one. With each pebble, the water rose a little higher until at last it was near enough so he could drink. The Two Goats. Two goats, frisking gaily on the rocky steeps of a mountain valley, chanced to meet, one on each side of a deep chasm, through which poured a mighty mountain torrent. The trunk of a fallen tree formed the only means of crossing the chasm, and on this not even two squirrels could have passed each other in safety. The narrow path would have made the bravest tremble. Not so our goats. Their pride would not permit either to stand aside for the other. So, one set her foot on the log. The other did likewise. In the middle they met, horn to horn. Neither would give way, and so they both fell, to be swept away by the roaring waters below. The Wild Boar and the Fox. A wild boar was sharpening his tusks busily against the stump of a tree, when a fox happened by. Now the fox was always looking for a chance to make fun of his neighbors, so he made a great show of looking anxiously about, as if in some fear of a hidden enemy. But the boar kept right on with his work. "Why are you doing that?" asked the fox at last, with a grin. "There isn't any danger that I can see." "True enough," replied the boar. "But when danger does come, there will not be time for such work as this. My weapons will have to be ready for use then, or I shall suffer for it." The Heron. A heron was walking sedately along the bank of a stream, his eyes on the clear water, and his long neck and pointed bill ready to snap up a likely morsel for his breakfast. The clear water swarmed with fish, but Master Heron was hard to please that morning. "No small fry for me," he said. "Such scanty fare is not fit for a heron." Now a fine young perch swam near. "No, indeed," said the heron. "I wouldn't even trouble to open my beak for anything like that." As the sun rose, the fish left the shallow water near the shore and swam below into the cool depths toward the middle. The heron saw no more fish, and very glad was he at last to breakfast on a tiny snail. The Fox and the Stork. The fox one day thought of a plan to amuse himself at the expense of the stork, at whose odd appearance he was always laughing. "You must come and dine with me today," he said to the stork, smiling to himself at the trick he was going to play. The stork gladly accepted the invitation and arrived in good time and with a very good appetite. For dinner the fox served soup, but it was set out in a very shallow dish, and all the stork could do was to wet the very tip of his bill. Not a drop of soup could he get. But the fox lapped it up easily, and, to increase the disappointment of the stork, made a great show of enjoyment. The hungry stork was much displeased at the trick, but he was a calm, even-tempered fellow, and saw no good in flying into a rage. Instead, not long afterwards, he invited the fox to dine with him in turn. The fox arrived promptly at the time that had been set, and the stork served a fish for dinner that had a very appetizing smell. But it was served in a tall jar with a very narrow neck. The stork could easily get at the food with his long bill, but all the fox could do was to lick the outside of the jar and sniff at the delicious odor. When the fox lost his temper, the stork said calmly, "Do not play tricks on your neighbors unless you can stand the same treatment yourself." The Stag and His Reflection. A stag, drinking from a crystal spring, saw himself mirrored in the clear water. He greatly admired the graceful arc of his antlers, but was very much ashamed of his spindling legs. "How can it be," he sighed, "that I should be cursed with such legs when I have so magnificent a crown?" At that moment he scented a panther, and in an instant was bounding away through the forest. But as he ran, his wide-spreading antlers caught in the branches of the trees, and soon the panther overtook him. Then the stag perceived that the legs of which he was so ashamed would have saved him had it not been for the useless ornaments on his head. And this is the last Aesop fable that we're going to read today. It's called The Cock and the Fox. One bright evening, as the sun was sinking on a glorious world, a wise old cock flew into a tree to roost. Before he composed himself to rest, he flapped his wings three times and crowed loudly. But just as he was about to put his head under his wing, his beady eyes caught a flash of red and a glimpse of a long, pointed nose, and there just below him stood Master Fox. "Have you heard the wonderful news?" cried the fox, in a very joyful and excited manner. "What news?" asked the cock, very calmly. But he had a queer, fluttery feeling inside of him, for, you know, he was very much afraid of the fox. "Your family and mine and all the other animals have agreed to forget their differences and live in peace and friendship from now on forever. Just think of it, I simply cannot wait to embrace you. Do come down, dear friend, and let us celebrate the joyful event." "How grand!" said the cock. "I am certainly delighted at the news." But he spoke in an absent way, and stretching up on tiptoes, seemed to be looking at something far off. "What is it you see?" asked the fox, a little anxiously. "Why, it looks to me like a couple of dogs coming this way. They must have heard the good news, and—" But the fox did not want to hear more. Off he started to run. "Wait," cried the cock, "why do you run? The dogs are your friends now." "Yes," answered the fox, "but they might have not heard the news. Besides, I have a very important errand that I'd almost forgotten about." The cock smiled as he buried his head in his feathers and went to sleep, for he had succeeded in outwitting a very crafty enemy. I'm going to share this moral with you too. It's "The trickster is easily tricked." Thank you for listening to Short Stories with Mrs. Sam. This week we read Aesop Fables because our summer reading program has the theme of tales and tales, so we're going to be exploring animals and their stories all summer long. You can email me, Mrs. Sam, at salaiter@hotchkisslibrary.org to register for our summer reading program. You can catch Short Stories with Mrs. Sam every Sunday at 8:30 a.m. at WHDD 91.9 FM. All sounds in this recording are from freesound.org.